It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
All right, Steve. Hard Knocks Week 2 starts tonight. It is Tuesday. Coming off a big preseason debut for Baker Mayfield and a really incredible performance by Tyrod. Got to get this right. Tyrod Taylor.
Do you think it comes out on Hard Knocks that he finally tells everyone, you've been mispronouncing my name. Please get it right.
No, I don't.
No?
Clearly he's not one for correcting people.
He's a quiet guy. He's a quiet guy.
Also, that's got to be, I mean, listen.
Quiet leader. Not everyone, Eli Manning's a quiet leader. Not everyone has to be boisterous.
And also, in no way do you look at his name, Tyrod, and think Tyrod, or Tyrod. It's Tyrod. I mean, you know, so if he was, I'm sure, you know, maybe I'm being too hard on Tyrod. Maybe I am. Maybe he's probably lived his whole life. You know, it's like I'm Ryan. People call me Brian 50% of the time. I don't even care anymore.
Right?
Oh, my God. It's the name of the 80s. Everyone's named Brian or Brian. Everyone.
Is that your doing?
What? Do I not speak clearly? Do I not say, hi, I'm Ryan? No. I speak clearly.
As a mumbler, I do notice an awful lot that people will deliver their name too quickly and mumble.
No. I'm very much, hi, I'm Ryan. R with an R, Ryan. Right. Was it Brian? No, Ryan. Well, okay. And then sometimes I just move on.
Look at how worked up he gets.
No, I don't even care anymore. I must be like Tyrod.
I get Scott a lot.
What?
Yeah. Like last week on a radio show, I had a guest. No, a caller was like, hey, Scott. I'm like, okay. It's all right. I'll get, hey, I'm Steve. And they're like, nice to meet you, Keith. Mumbling. Happens.
What is this?
But
what
Tyrod is this? And Tyrod is pretty clear. If your name is Tyrod, then just tell everyone. I think that's one of the best parts about Hard Knocks. You've got a cocky, brash, number one pick. Right now, he's the backup. He's already said, I'm not prepping like the backup. Mm-hmm. I'm prepping like the starter. So you got that heat. Who coaches are going to pick? Like, is Hugh Jackson a Tyrod guy? Is he a Baker Mayfield guy? Is that going to jive with Todd Haley, the new OC, who's much more aggressive, former Steelers OC? Is he a Tyrod or Baker guy? So you got that element. I freaking love that. And to me, the interplay between nice guy Hugh Jackson and hard asses Greg Williams and Haley is going to be dynamite. We read a report yesterday from practice that was it Mayfield who got nailed? Mayfield got nailed by someone on Greg Williams' defense, and Todd Haley's like, easy! Easy! And then Greg Williams fired back, and he's like, hey, try blocking! Like, let's go.
Week two, baby.
Right? It's awesome.
We're 7 hours away. It can't get here soon enough. You talk about the dynamic between Mayfield and Taylor. I'm really interested. Do you think that coaching staff watches Hard Knocks in an attempt to kind of maybe hone in on stuff they might have missed, see what made the cut? You think? Guess what I'm saying is, do you think on any level Hard Knocks has any bearing on who might the starting quarterback be?
No.
For the Cleveland Browns.
No, but I bet you some coaches watch to see how they come off.
Specifically maybe how Tyrod, because this is on a one-year deal. And you were talking about
Well, I would say more specifically,
yeah.
If Todd Haley, he might not care, mm-hmm. but if Todd Haley or that gooby running back coach, if they see their body language and huffing and puffing
right.
from that meeting, I think any of us, if you get to see your body language during a discussion, you're like, ooh, that wasn't good. Yeah. But maybe Todd Haley's like, screw it! That's how I feel.
Yeah, Todd Haley or Williams don't really strike me as guys who go back and decipher their movements and their body language. I think they're good with the choices they make. You know, one thing I was really, and this is, I'm really excited to see.
I want to hear this because I have rapid fire list.
Okay.
I actually have 5 texts from last week with time marks of stuff that I saw. But go ahead.
Okay. Well,
I'm not saying yours is not important. I just wanted to see right. if any of these float
match
your boat.
Wanna,
no, yeah, maybe.
Right. Okay. So no, the one thing, like listen. We obviously last week was week one. We were just getting introduced to this franchise and this team, and more specifically, I think the star of the show, Baker Mayfield. I think that's why a lot of people are watching. He's the number one pick. He's hoped and being, I guess, given the opportunity to turn Cleveland around.
How did you think he came off?
Incredible.
We had a big debate with football expert Gooch from Comp.
Incredible.
He's a Browns fan.
I was absolutely blown away, and I'm going to tell you.
Off
the field, and more so on the field. And we didn't get to see a ton of it in practice, but what I did see was incredible, and I'm going to go back to Jared Goff.
Incredible.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to Jared Goff.
Oh, I want to hear this.
This is a guy on Hard Knocks who couldn't decipher where the sun set, the East Coast or the West Coast. He couldn't get the playbook down. He was Now, I don't know how much of this had to do with the system in L.A. or how much it had to do with Jeff Fisher. Frankly, I don't care. He came off as a moron, and he came off as unsure. Now, as we've seen, Jared Goff has turned into one hell of a quarterback, and he probably was even back then. That's the view we got of him, whatever. Complete opposite with Baker Mayfield. And I don't know if it was his first scrimmage, but in that first week, when he gets under huddle, the first thing they show of us is him calling audibles. He is standing tall. He is speaking with authority. He's taking command of that huddle and that practice and that scrimmage as a backup like he is the starter. He knows the playbook, and then you see what and this is why I'm so excited to see the show tonight, is we saw him perform on Thursday night in that preseason game, and boy, did he perform. And so did Terod. Huh? So it is going to be really interesting to see what the coaches have to say about these performances and where this quarterback battle is going, because make no mistake, this is now a battle. I know we were talking about it before, and I know it's only one preseason game. But
I agree with
what
that.
We're seeing from
a lot
Baker
of people
have
poo-pooed that there's a battle. Believe me, there's a battle.
Oh, there's a
battle. You take a quarterback number one. Mm-hmm. There's pressure to get him on the field, even though you traded a third for a veteran, and the veteran is better than him right now. But if they don't win games, there'll be a push for Baker Mayfield by game three or four. And I totally love your point on now. I thought Mayfield came across as an arrogant jackass that could be not productive, but I get it. When you pit him against Jared Goff, and I hesitate for a second because clearly they video a lot of stuff for Hard Knocks.
Yes.
And they're trying to present storylines.
Yep.
But my guess is that Jared Goff didn't give a lot of uber confident moments on film. And I agree with you. Jared Goff did not seem like a leader.
Nope.
I mean, he was being mocked on. Sean Mannion, the backup, was mocking on him. He was being mocked on a lot. And I don't think he even realized being a dork on the sunset and rise thing, it made him look terrible. Mayfield does come. I mean, he's got many positive leadership skills. I think there are some negatives too.
I think you're referencing. I think you're referencing the conversation he had with Hugh Jackson.
I thought
about
it was totally
early.
Disrespectful.
Yeah, it was. It was.
So
no question.
If your boss says get in early, and you ignore him and walk away, that's not a great sign. And I wonder what Baker Mayfield is going to contribute to the possible quarterback controversy, and more importantly, the coup that could be going on with the rest of the staff taking out Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, well, listen, you talk about that engagement between Baker and Hugh. How much of that onus falls on Hugh? He just let him walk.
Yep.
If you're a coach and you think Greg Williams would have done that? If you think Greg Williams was the head coach and he came, he's like, hey, Baker, why don't you get here a little bit earlier? Why don't you get here when Tyrod gets here? Well, Tyrod's got his thing and I've got my thing. No, dumb it. That's not what I'm. No, I don't. I almost dropped the. I don't know. Can I say that? Dumbass. Yeah. Can I say dumbass?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. No, dumbass. You get here when I say here. I'm your boss. Make it happen.
Right.
You know, Hugh, passive as he is, was just like, well, okay, buddy. You do you. No, that's not what you. I mean, that's not what I would want from a head coach.
Yeah, I don't want to hear excuses.
Right.
Or in that case, nonchalance.
Right.
Is that a word? Nonchalant.
Yeah.
You're being disrespectful.
You know why he did it?
Answer me.
You know why
he
did it?
Are you going to be here first thing in the morning?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know why he did it? You know why he didn't attack him or go after him harder? Because Tyrod Taylor's on a one-year deal and Baker Mayfield isn't. He is aligning himself with Baker Mayfield. He knows that if he is going to have this job pass this year, Baker Mayfield needs to be in the Hugh Jackson business, and Hugh Jackson needs to be in the Baker Mayfield
you
business.
You think?
Absolutely.
All right, so you think the side is going to be picked here the next couple of weeks?
Absolutely. This is the best season of Hard Knocks in years. I got to be honest, I didn't have high expectations going into it. I really didn't. I am not a Baker Mayfield supporter in that sense. I was questioning the move with the number one pick because you could have taken him at four. We all know that. You could have taken Saquon with one. Baker still would have been there at four, and you would have gotten potentially the two best players in the draft. So, listen, there's a lot of chaos in Cleveland. There is, but there's a lot of good coming from Cleveland, too, and that just makes for great television. So I'm excited. Run down that list you got.
Hard Knocks back tonight. So rapid-fire observations from last week.
Yeah.
The LeBron sign came down. If they put another sign up, who should it be?
Gotta be Baker. It's got to be. I mean, he's got to be the starter before he does it. You got to wait a few weeks, but it's got to be Baker. It has to be.
You're going to put up a 13-story sign of Baker Mayfield in year one.
First of all, I wouldn't put anyone up there because no one's LeBron James.
Just a big picture of TTK and Chloe.
Yeah, it's probably the best. The best thing that you got going for you is Kardashian is dating a dude from Cleveland.
What would you rather have? Tristan Thompson next to Chloe and her altered body in giant bombs? Or someone who really deserves it, how about Corey Kluber? All right, I'm going the first one.
No, it's not a bad idea. I mean, you know, Cleveland would probably want to win a World Series before that, but yeah.
Or do you have to be one of the greatest of all time to get 13-story poster up on a building?
Yeah, no one gets 13. It was central to LeBron. No one else is getting that spot.
Observation two, the scene where Hugh Jackson pays off his bet. Hey, we don't win. I'm going for a dip. My thought as I looked, I was like, oh my God, Lake Erie is disgusting. And that's coming from someone from New Jersey. Holy crap, that water was dirty.
Yeah. The Great Lakes do have a problem. I grew up around them. I know more about Michigan.
They do have a problem.
They do. Now, I grew up more around Lake Michigan and Gary and East Chicago and kind of that, what that entails. I didn't spend much time on Erie. But you know what my main takeaway from that was? Like, when I hear someone in a cold Midwestern town is jumping into a lake, if they don't accomplish some sort of bet or goal, my first instinct is like, yeah, you're going to do it in the winter. Of course. Like, that's what's going to suck about it. Yeah. You're going into a lake in the winter.
Hugh
did it in like the spring. He did it in like May or June. Like, oh, cool. You got wet, Hugh.
Right after the season.
Yeah.
Mid-January, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get in there.
No, well, but he waited. Oh, well, I'm making good on my bet. No, you didn't, Hugh. You didn't make good on your bet.
Okay.
How do I trust you?
Since I'm the normal press box crew is out. They're positive most of the time. I have to be glass overflowing guy in my role as a sidekick here.
Well, this is interesting.
It was for charity.
Okay.
So as the guy
Get more attention on it and do it in cold weather.
As the guy who's running the foundation, have more people out there and try not to kill anyone who's contributing to the charity by going in 8-degree water.
Come on.
Glass overflowing. All right. Observation three. That
must have pained you.
You're a gigantic ego guy. You know that.
Yeah.
You need your ego stroke.
Of course.
Could you have handled the Nick Chubb moment at the airport? Did you even notice that it was kind of shoehorned in?
No.
Nick Chubb, rookie running back, top five guy last year at his position, one of the 10 most famous college football players of the last couple of years. He's at the airport, and multiple people at the Cleveland airport are like, what do you do? Who are you? Browns?
Oh, no. Huh?
Like, I wonder how you've been a star forever. And now you go to the NFL, it's like, oh, I'm in the big time. And you go to an airport, and people are like, I have no idea who you are.
Yeah. Welcome to Cleveland.
And we don't care about the Browns that much. Oh, no. That's a change.
Well, I think it also gives you a great insight into where the Browns sit as far as the fabric of Cleveland. You don't know Nick Chubb? Come on, Cleveland. Do better. In the immortal words of your greatest athlete to ever play in Cleveland, well, at least the last 50 years. I don't want to go that far on Jim Brown. But, yeah, do better.
Observation three, would you cry on camera? I thought that was cool that Hugh Jackson didn't tell the producers. Now, come on, man. I'm weeping over my mother.
Yeah.
Don't put the shot in of me by myself in the office weeping.
Do you think they have any...
Yes.
Do you think they have any pull on cut?
Totally, yes.
Really?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes. You know what? I think there's a back and forth because I do believe... Well, I don't want to open this Pandora's box, but I think it's weird. Don't you think it's odd this week that Dez Bryant, as of last reports, is coming in on Thursday? It's almost as if, yeah, the Browns are interested in Dez Bryant, but so is HBO. It's almost like HBO asked the Browns. I don't think this happens. But, hey, for episode two, we got a lot. Episode three, we could use Dez.
Let me ask you a question.
Do you wonder if there's actually conversation with the organization where they're like, eh, you know what? We'll do you a favor. What does it matter if Dez is in here 3 days early? Like, they could have got him in, over the weekend.
Of course.
He's coming in Thursday.
And that would be my question. Who needs who more? Do the Browns need HBO more? Or does HBO need the Browns more?
That's a great question.
Browns need HBO more. I'll answer it for you.
You think?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, do I need to say anything more?
This is my favorite thing, and this is kind of getting serious.
Yeah.
All right, turn your mic on for a second. This is getting kind of serious. I love the term at the end when they're trying to motivate everyone, and they say, find your why. Find your why. W-H-Y. Ari, why do you work here?
Please. Please don't do this to me right now.
It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
Back here on the Press Box this Tuesday. No Clay, no Ed. Clay is at jury duty. Ed is in Texas. Hopefully, Clay didn't get swallowed up by our justice system. Should be back tomorrow. It's myself, Ryan McKinnell, across the way. Steve Cofield cackling at something. I'm not sure exactly what, but I'm never sure with Steve.
All right, Why are you so sure of what? Clay escaping a case?
Well, I just said
he might be out for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, I just said hopefully, you know, and get this show back on the rails. There's been chaos for 2.5 hours.
What if he gets on a case? What are you going to do?
More chaos, baby. Let's go. Did you find your why, Ari?
I guess that's my why right there.
Chaos?
Why? Because Clay is out.
You know what? Be honest, man. Because when the whole find your why thing was from the Browns and right. Hard Knocks, and I find it fascinating because, like, why do you work at your job?
What's your why?
I love radio. I love doing as much radio as I can. Yeah. I'm not good. I want to get better. I love studying the craft. Love entertaining the masses. Not so much that part, but love radio.
Yep.
And I have a hunger to get better and better and better, and the medium's changing, and there's new challenges on the way. I could do this for a while.
Oh, clearly.
Really, the question is, if you're on a football team or at work or wherever, like, why do you show up to work? Because for a lot of people, I mean, just be honest, no one's saying you're a lesser person. Why? Because I have kids and a wife and a house payment.
Right.
Right? Or because I didn't get to reach my dream job. I didn't get to reach my dream job yet, but I'm working at it.
Right.
Others, hey, it's a check. Someone in the building was like, hey, what's your why? Find your why. And the person's like, it's paycheck and they don't drug test.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Well, at least they're honest.
Why? I mean, I don't think... I think I'd be more insulted if someone just tries to fake their way through it.
Right. Yeah, I guess mine would be like, well, because roofing sucks and working in a chroming plant is terrible and this is what I'm best at and I'm very happy to do it and, as you said, get better.
That's a great answer, too.
Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah, my father... Why? Because I watched my father get up at 4:30 for 30 years.
Right.
And drive 40 miles back and forth to work and, you know, it was a good job and it supported us. But yeah, I didn't want to be a sheet metal worker. And that's nothing against sheet metal workers. Right. I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know? You know what I thought my why was? Hey, I'm going to go to school to be an accountant.
No.
I got to school and I'm like, yeah, I like numbers, but no thank you. And nothing against accountants. It wasn't my why.
Really?
Yeah.
Find something new every day. Was this at Rutgers? You originally went there to be an accountant?
Yeah, go to the business school.
Oh, my God.
Who knows? Maybe I could have done it. Maybe I couldn't have.
Maybe that's why your mom hates you.
Why?
Well, because you disappointed her. You were going to be a successful accountant, and now you're just you're Steve Cofield. You're Steve Cofield.
She would never say that. I disappointed her.
Oh.
Although she will say, she's like, hey, you don't work around here, so we can never hear you. Like, the internet!
Wait, so she's way more supportive.
My satellite, you can hear me!
Way more supportive than you're leading on. Maybe.
Oh, they're supportive.
Okay, good.
Yeah, she just likes to bust chops. And what did I say at the beginning of the show? We were talking about moms and dads and who do they like better, the husband, the wife, the... Well, their son or wife,
right.
Son or girlfriend. My mother's a chop buster, so you got to deal with it.
Thanks, Mom. You made Steve A who he is today.
Yes.
All right, some news coming down from the Raiders. Might have some ramifications potentially on this Khalil Mack situation. Give me the dirt, Steve.
Well, one, the story came out yesterday that the Aaron Donald signing in Ramsland could happen this week, which sets the market for right. Khalil Mack. There's more than just chatter on, hey, is Khalil Mack going to be traded? There's now an odds board listing of what team Khalil Mack could be traded to. But the crux of the story is once Donald signs, if he does this week, then all of a sudden that's the bar for Khalil Mack. Now, the boy genius, McVay, fired back this morning and said, we're close. I didn't know that. So he threw cold water all over the Aaron Donald is going to be the news that he's going to be signed by the end of the week. The other thing that's interesting with the Raiders is... They made some moves with Don Penn's contract, Donald.
Mm-hmm.
Made it a little more cap-friendly this year.
Yeah.
Right? Some more money up front, cap-friendly. So he's getting healthy. He's out there at practice today. longtime left tackle. He's playing right tackle. The rookie, Colton Miller at UCLA, is playing left tackle.
Woo.
Now, I don't know if that means the change is going to happen, but
that would be a pretty big shift.
Especially for a guy that...
On the blind side to move over like that?
For a guy... Well, I mean, he played left tackle at UCLA. I mean, the long-range plan is for Colton Miller to be the left tackle.
Sure, sure. But, Penn's like 34, 35.
You don't often see a guy like Penn supplanted when he's making big money.
And coming off of back-to-back Pro Bowls.
He was pretty beat up last year, but I get your point.
Yeah.
And the beginning of the season was not great for that line.
Yeah.
You know? So maybe a change at hand and I think it's interesting because so many people said that Colton Miller was more of a third, fourth, fifth round value.
Yeah.
And the Raiders are like, we like him. Well, I guess they do if they're ready to move him to left tackle. Now, again, it was just developing today. So maybe they're just trying it. Maybe it doesn't work, and he starts out at right tackle, but that's something to follow.
Right. You think any of the shifting of the contract, and I think it went to more to guaranteed, anything that plays into the Khalil Mack situation? You think that has...
Can't hurt, right?
Yeah, right. Kind of gave me that feeling, well, at least, especially with the timing of it.
Ryan, something's coming. So, I mean, at some point, well, one of them has to sign. Yeah. Obviously, they're not going to sign at the same exact time. So one's going to beat the other, and then all of a sudden, whatever they get, if it's... you know, here's a $120 million contract with $35 million guaranteed, then Mac or Donald is going to look at that and go, you know what? That's a good deal, but I want more.
Yeah, speaking of contracts getting finalized, getting restructured, getting made, first-round draft pick of the Chicago Bears, number 8 overall, linebacker from Georgia, Roquan Smith, was the last first-rounder to be unsigned, got taken care of yesterday. He is officially a Bear. He joins a defense which was top 10 in the league last year. Obviously, the Bears have, you know, a little bit of issues on the offensive side of the ball, but defensively, they're a pretty solid group, Steve, and they just shored up a guy that they really believe not only is he going to contribute right away, but that's going to be a future part of this Bears organization for a very long time. You know, I guess I'll just throw it to you. Defense is great. You know, it doesn't mean as much as it once does. I'm not so much sure, but I think we've seen in past years that it can still win you a championship. Obviously, I'm not talking about the Bears in a championship, but Bears in the playoffs, is there any possibility there? Now that you had Roquan Smith to this Trevathan and Akeem Hicks, you know, situation, you got Adrian Amos in the secondary. This is a good defensive squad that just got better. What are your thoughts on the Bears?
7 wins.
Yeah.
I think that's the goal. They're not making the playoffs.
Well, that would still be successful. I think they had 5 wins last year, 5-11. Before correct. That, they were 3-13. So it would be an improvement.
Who's gonna drop down in the NFC? Don't forget, the NFC, the 6th seed, the Atlanta Falcons, were a complete pain in the ass when it came to the playoffs.
That's a great point.
And they're 2 years removed from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That was the 6th.
Yeah.
Who's coming down? Eagles, a little bit. Are the Cowboys coming back? They're 9-7 last year. Are they going backwards or forwards?
I think they're at the very least going to stay where they're at, probably going to improve.
Rams, Seahawks, Cardinals, are they going back? 11-5, 9-7, 8-8, respectively.
I don't have a lot of faith in the Cardinals. I could think them dropping would be a definite possibility.
Are the Niners better than the Bears?
That's tough. I want to say yes, just because of what we saw to Garoppolo, but now people have seen tape on Garoppolo. Now they can plan for Garoppolo. So I don't know about San Francisco. I think the bigger question is, what's Mitch Trubisky going to do? It's a big year for him. Real big year for him.
Are the Vikings coming back from 13-3? Probably a couple of wins, right?
Probably.
Although they upgraded a quarterback. Are the Lions about 9-7 again? Probably. Are the Packers better than 7-9?
Definitely.
Okay.
That's
unquestionable. So where's all this room for the Bears to move up?
Oh, I didn't say there was. Yeah.
The NFC South.
Yeah.
Who's getting worse? The Saints, the Panthers, or the Falcons? They were all 10-6 or better.
They're going to be about the same. No. Bears.
So I'll ask you again.
Yeah.
How are the Bears making the playoffs?
Through one of the better defenses in the NFL. Whether they can actually put that on the field and make it happen, I have no clue. But there's a possibility there. They certainly have the talent. They're just going to have to, you know, they got a two-headed running back situation with Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard. They have a young quarterback that people are high on. And let's not forget, they got Robinson down from Jacksonville? So their wide receiving core is a little bit better. Now, I'm with you. I think 7-9 is more likely. But there is also the chance that it's similar to last year, where it's just a maelstrom of chaos, and 9-7, you might get you in the playoffs. Very well might happen. All right, coming up next, Marcus Pfaff from The Score. Wisconsin is going to get into more NFC North talk, except this is going to be centered around my hated rivals, unfortunately, the Green Bay Packers. We've got Marcus Pfaff coming up next.
It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
All right, back on the press box. No Ed and Clay today. Clay will be back tomorrow, hopefully from jury duty today. It's myself, Ryan McKinnell, across the way. Steve Cofield, Ari, in the booth. Joining us now, former UNLV alum, current host at The Score Wisconsin. All things Packers, all things Brewers, all things Wisconsin. Marcus Pfaff, thanks for joining us. Marcus, how you doing?
Boys, great to be with you. How are things in the excellent, awesome, wonderful city of Las Vegas today?
It is excellent, it is awesome, and it is wonderful.
Hot.
Hot.
What's it like in Wisconsin?
Yeah,
right,
I kind of figured.
What's it like
the
by you?
The heat was never too much for me, though, man. It's that it's those 10-degree days in Green Bay that get me going.
Better man than I. Better man than I.
All right, Marcus, let's get into Aaron Rodgers. So I don't think there's going to be an issue with assimilating, but what's the Packers camp? What's the feel around the team with the arguably the best quarterback in the NFL back?
Yeah, well, I mean, in terms of overall vibe for this season, Steve, I mean, the optimism's extremely high, and I think you look around training camp and what they have on the offensive side of the ball. He's one preseason game in, but they've seen some of these young receivers that they took in the later rounds really acclimate quite nicely. And I know we can get to Rodgers' comments directed at those guys here in just a minute, but you know, if one or two of them are able to develop and play alongside the de facto, I guess, number one at this point, Devontae Adams, and then you've added Jimmy Graham at the tight end position, although you can really look at him as another receiver as well, they feel pretty darn good about who they'll be as an offense. And you know, I said optimism for the team as a whole, and I think a lot of that stems from a new defensive coordinator. Dom Capers had really turned a lot of people off for a long time, and to have a new system in there with Mike Pettine leading the show, I mean, even just the way he presents himself and the way that he talks has people fired up. And you know, sometimes change for change sake can be a good thing. I don't think the Packers necessarily have top 15 personnel on the defensive side of the ball in this league, but you bring a new scheme in and allow them to do something different, and you never know what the results might be. So especially when you factor in some of those young players they took in the higher rounds going after Alexander, and then Josh Jackson, so a couple of the corners there right out of the gate. So yeah, with Rodgers back, I think optimism is extremely high that they can get back to a Super Bowl, and you know, it's an obvious statement for any team that has a franchise quarterback like that, though. If he goes down, all bets are off.
Here with Marcus Pfaff from The Score Wisconsin. Marcus, you know, as we talk about new additions to this Packers team, I'm a Bears fan, unapologetically Chicago, always have been. Got my Bears hat on today. I am kind of shivering.
Why is he laughing?
Well, because we're terrible. I think that's why he's laughing.
Why is he laughing?
It was like, oh, you poor bastard, laugh. I'm so sorry for you.
Well, you said I'm a better man than you for enduring 10-degree days, man. You've been to Chicago. You know exactly what this is all about. So,
yeah,
you know, I get it. I'm allowing myself to go through this again. I'd much rather deal with the heat on a regular basis. But yeah, I mean, as far as the Bears go, I don't know. I mean, it could be an interesting year, right? Mitchell Trubisky coming in and maybe an opportunity to take that next step forward. I don't look at them to win the division, but I don't necessarily write them off as just an absolute disaster at this point either. I'm not sure you can say that about anybody.
Hey, all right, Marcus, let's present this scenario.
not a disaster. All right.
The Bears finish ahead of the Packers this year. Mike McCarthy's fired.
I think that's a pretty good bet. I mean, you can always throw in you know, the different variables into the equation. Was Rodgers hurt again? This, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, I mean, it is a prove-it year for Mike McCarthy. And not to say that he hasn't had a great deal of success, but a lot of people are going to look at that and say, well, you've been handed one of the best quarterbacks, not just of this generation, but to ever play the game. So, yeah, I think it's a fair statement to say if Chicago finished ahead of Green Bay, unless they somehow just put up a ridiculous season that nobody saw coming, you're probably going to see a change in Green Bay at the head coaching position.
As we talk about the not an entire disaster that is the Chicago Bears, obviously they just signed Roquan Smith, the last first-round pick to not get a deal. He's got a deal. He was at camp today. He joins the linebacking core led by Danny Trevathan. They got Akeem Hicks up front, I should say. They got Adrian Amos in the secondary. They got a nice young squad. Is their defense good enough to even have them in playoff contention?
Well, playoff contention. You talking about Chicago at this point?
Yes.
I think they're probably still a year away from doing that. Now, you know, you mentioned some of the names there. If some of these young guys can perhaps progress a little bit quicker than we might anticipate, you know, I'll never say never with them. But as far as I'm concerned with the NFC North right now. And I won't even say Green Bay is the team to beat. I still think Minnesota is the team to beat. They have a defense that is clearly Super Bowl caliber,
in
my opinion. And then you factor in the change at quarterback now and add Kirk Cousins. And that offense, it was, one preseason game, so you really can't make a whole lot of assessments or judgments off that. But it appears like he is fitting in quite nicely. So I would say Minnesota is the pick to win it right now. Green Bay has to prove to me that they are able to dethrone them. That's not like I think that's super far-fetched when you have Aaron Rodgers, but I'd say it's those two teams, and then you've probably got Detroit and Chicago lagging a little bit further behind. Although, like I said, you know, with Trubisky, and if you feel like you finally have your guy in place at that position, which Lord knows historically, I don't know that the Bears have ever really felt all that good about things there. And
no.
Even when McMahon was around.
The answer is no. No, we've never felt good about quarterbacks. Never.
Right. So, maybe this is the most optimistic that you can be as a Bears fan from an offensive perspective. But, you know, push comes to shove, I would say year away before they're really giving Minnesota and Green Bay a real run for their money. And again, you can put caveats on all of this. It's all going to be dependent upon health and making sure that the major playmakers in this division are healthy and out there.
Let's get back to Rodgers. So what'd you make of Aaron Rodgers' critique of the receivers?
Yeah, Steve, yesterday, I thought yesterday was weird because, you know, I know the guy who asked the question right out of the gate, Bill Huber, is a longtime beat reporter in this. The fact that he snapped about the semantics of that, in that he wasn't trying to send a message. Well, what were you trying to do? I mean, I get that you were answering a question, but Aaron Rodgers, I think we know, is a pretty intelligent guy. He's a pretty calculated guy in everything that he says. And that's exactly how I took it 2 weeks ago when he made the comments about the young receivers not getting it done in practice. And I didn't have a problem with it. Look, you're the 34-year-old veteran leader of this team. You want to send a message to the young guys that this isn't going to cut it. It's not going to help you win games. Great, so be it. Let them take that message and run. I mean, we've seen other superstar athletes do this. We've seen other great coaches do this over the years. In the NBA, Phil Jackson comes to mind as just a tactician when it comes to using the media to send messages to his guys. So that's the way that I looked at it, and I really thought he presented it that way at the time as well. So then yesterday, to make this big deal about it, and, well, we can't be that soft, and I don't know where that came from, and I'm really not sure, you know, unless he got brushback or pushback from people on social media, which I haven't seen a whole lot of, I don't know why you would walk that back in any way, shape, or form. Look, the guys that he called out, at least a couple of them, performed in that first preseason game against Tennessee. Martez Valdes-Scantling, he's out of USF, was a late-round pick for them. I mean, over 100 yards receiving and a touchdown looked very, very good, and I think gives you reason for optimism that this receiving core is going to be more than just Davante Adams and Jimmy Graham this year. And that's not to say they don't have other guys in the fold either. I don't want to forget about Randall Cobb and all of that, but they need another guy in the mix. So, you know, look, it's the message seemed to work. I'm not really sure why you walked back those comments and you're so irritated by it yesterday.
Well, but, do you think you heard something in the organization that the youngins were pissed? I mean, why would walk it back? He's got the equity to say whatever he wants. If he wants to rip on Jimmy Graham or Davante Adams, do it. You know what I mean?
You're right.
So what's the genesis of this?
Well, that's just it. And look, nothing has come out of Green Bay that suggests any of those young receivers have said anything to prove that, you know, to make that a valid point that, hey, look, they're irritated, they're offended, all this. I mean, could I see it being a possibility? Sure. You got a young guy who feels slighted by it all. But at the same point in time, when it's Aaron Rodgers making the comments, don't you just shut your mouth and go to work? I mean, I would think that would be the reaction of most of these guys. And that's, again, that goes back to why I'm so confused by this as well, because even being around the team, there doesn't seem to be a catalyst for him to say, well, I better pull this back and now start calling guys out as potentially soft. I mean, if anything, they responded to your message, went out there and got it done in a preseason game. Why not continue to do that? Or why not continue to push that message? And to your point, Steve, I mean, this is a guy, Aaron Rodgers has no problem talking about anybody in the media, and at times that includes his head coach, Mike McCarthy. I mean, this goes back a few years, too, where you'll see him make comments, and then either later that day or the following morning, McCarthy comes out and, I don't want to say he walks them back, but he really tempers what Aaron Rodgers had to say during his media session. So, I mean, he's got plenty of freedom. The fact that he would walk that back, it blew my mind yesterday, and I'm not sure that there's going to be a whole lot of fallout from it, because it seems like the message was received and things are getting done right now, but still, just confusing situation in that regard.
Is there any chance that Danica chipped away at his confidence? Could there be something developing on the home front? Come on now, Danica.
I will tell you this. If that is the case, it will be all over. It will be all over the internet message boards and maybe even on a couple of credible news sites, because God knows they have never shied away from touching on that in the past when it was Olivia Munn and whatever detrimental effects she was bringing upon Aaron Rodgers. So, yeah, I have no comment. Perhaps that's the case.
Last one, and any other year, this wouldn't have been important, but it was last year. Who's going to be the backup?
Yeah, it's a really good question.
And they traded for Deshaun Kizer. Browns gave up on him. I think the guy can play quarterback in the NFL. He may not be ready, but when Brett Hundley had his chance last year, that wasn't that great.
Hmm. No, and that's where I think there's a good chance that this team keeps three quarterbacks this year. Because Brett Hundley, if there's one thing that he does have on Kizer right now, it's simply a leg up on knowing the playbook, knowing Mike McCarthy's way of doing things. And that's not to say that that's going to earn you a job on the 53-man roster, but clearly it was enough, it appeared, to get him out there and be the guy taking the snaps in the first quarter right out of the chute against Tennessee. And, you know, he didn't play all that bad. Had a decent three drives, but at the same point in time, there was nothing that wowed you, and you're playing against vanilla defenses in preseason. So Kizer, you know, I'd say very similar in terms of how you describe the numbers that he put up in that game, but I think it's neck and neck right now. They liked Kizer coming out of college a couple of years ago. There were reports at the time that they might even look to draft him at some point, bring him in and make him the backup at that point to Aaron Rodgers, but wasn't to be, as Cleveland clearly made that happen. So I think they like his long-term potential, if he can avoid what he did last year and turning the ball over at that rate. And maybe you look at this season where they keep both of them around. Brett Hundley is the guy for one more year until his contract is up, or they can perhaps move him at some point, and then Kizer kind of assumes that role as the young heir apparent in case of emergency at some point as well. And I always say this, they've got a young guy, Tim Boyle, in camp right now, who's doing some really good things as well, and sort of an off-the-radar pickup, undrafted free agent that they like a lot, too, and that the Packers have never been shy about keeping quarterbacks around on the practice squad either. So this will be an interesting game of musical chairs, I guess, if you will, over the next 3 weeks.
All right, it's Marcus Pfaff from The Score up in Wisconsin. You can reach him on Twitter at Marcus Pfaff, MarquesPhaff. Marcus, we're going to get you out of here on this. As we were talking about that young receiving core and maybe some of the problems they were having with Aaron Rodgers, one person who's not having a problem with Aaron Rodgers, and I know people are talking about Los Angeles and the moves they made this year and all these free agent signings and trades, whatever. Okay, that's great. None bigger in my mind, and maybe it's the NFC North homer in me, but I'm talking about Jimmy Graham coming to Green Bay. Listen, he had a decent run in Seattle, but it, for whatever reason, it didn't mimic or live up to the hype that maybe I was expecting coming over from New Orleans. Well, I got to be honest. Now, with Aaron Rodgers, with the other options that they have at wide receiver, am I crazy for thinking he is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, offseason pickup for any NFL team in the league?
Well, no, I don't think you're crazy for that at all. And it's, you know, as it relates to Green Bay.
Can I jump in for a second? I like Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not a bad one either.
You pay $84 million
Minnesota over the
for
top.
A quarterback. I'm not to steal your thunder because I want to hear your answer.
Right.
I think that was a fantasy football-like move. I think Graham is what he showed in Seattle, and he's not ever going back to Saints days.
But how much better does he make Aaron Rodgers is already great. Now you give him that second or third option. It's just, and listen, he had great numbers in Seattle. They weren't New Orleans numbers, but he had a 900 yard receiving year. He had a 10 touchdown year. He had good years, and I can't help but think he's going to be a monster with Aaron.
Well, not to hedge on this, guys, but yeah. I want to bring up the name Mercedes Lewis in all this as well. And you know, maybe a more of an under the radar pick. Spent all those years in Jacksonville, so people who don't watch Jags football may not even know what he's all about. But I think the complements of skill set. Lewis comes in as one of the best run blockers in this league at tight end. And by the way, he can catch a pass here or there too. It's not like when he's out there, you're definitely not throwing. So if you've got Lewis and then you add in the skill set of Jimmy Graham, who he has faults. I mean, there's no way about it. I think when you're between the 20s is probably when you wonder what Graham really provides you. But when you get into that red zone, he is going to be a massive target for Aaron Rodgers. So in my mind, when you bring in both of those guys together, and I know maybe I'm skirting around your question, but when you bring them both in together, that gives the Packers a very formidable tight end group. Lance Kendricks is the third guy there. And I just like that. I mean, you go back 2 years ago, they had Jared Cook, and he was hurt for the first part of the year, but really found that rhythm with Rodgers, and that was incredibly beneficial for that offense down the stretch. Last year was a train wreck with Martellus Bennett, so they might get back to a whole lot of production from the tight end group this year, and that'll be huge.
Marcus, great stuff. Thanks for giving us a couple minutes.
Boys, always a pleasure. Always love talking to you out in Vegas. We'll talk soon, hopefully.
All right, take care. That was Marcus Pfaff. You can find him on Twitter, MarquesPhaff, Marcus Pfaff, Score Wisconsin.
I'm not a Jimmy Graham guy, as I'll actually say into the microphone. He averaged 670 yards the last three seasons per season, 6 touchdowns. He is what he is. He's solid tight end, but he's not going back to 140 targets.
That was
again.
In an entirely different offense. That was with Russell Wilson. You know, you're talking about Russell Wilson, and you're talking about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you're talking about a guy who is going to utilize him in a very similar way to Drew Brees. He's only 31 years old. And you kind of feel like, you know, yeah, his average was, yes, definitely
wanna
around the 650.
Want to make another wager?
Sure. What do you want to do? 1,000 yards?
I was going to say 900.
I'll go 1,000.
Well, you don't have to go 1,000. I'm saying 900. So you go over 900, I'll go under.
Okay.
Easy. Jimmy Graham.
What's the bet?
Now this is the tough part.
Wait, I already allegedly shorted you on a $20 pie last time.
Last time we bet and you lost, it was a happy hour late night pizza. So why don't we just stick to that?
Which turned into a midday delivery pizza that cost me $20. Thanks for that, by the way.
We'll put a second pizza on the line, okay? Jimmy Graham over under 900 yards.
No, it's not okay. No, I want something that I actually truly, really, really enjoy. So let's do.
Oh, that's right. You have trouble with cheese.
Let's do chicken wings.
Okay.
And let's do our favorite chicken wing spot.
Do we have a favorite, or are you saying you're picking your favorite?
Come on. You know I got a favorite.
Okay.
NCP.
Okay.
NCP.
All right.
My boy's down at NCP. We'll go with that. Naked City. Yeah. Come on.
I'm good.
All right. Well, I'm going to be enjoying my wings heartily in about, it's not even going to be 5 months. I expect Jimmy should have over 900 by December, start of December.
Okay. Good luck with that.
Yeah. No, I can already taste the barbecue sauce. I'm very excited. All right, before we get out of here.
I wanted to throw in.
Yeah, no problem. Go ahead.
Aaron Rodgers. My whole point at the beginning of the convo with Marcus was Aaron Rodgers assimilating back into the Packers is going to be seamless. I wanted to ask you, what do you think it's like with Seattle, with Robinson Cano?
Ari. Cano.
Had to correct that before we left because there was a Kano mention.
Thank you.
Hall of Famer, Robinson.
He's a big Mortal Kombat
Cano.
Fan.
What do you think it's like him coming back to a winning team? Is he just welcome back instantly? He's coming off an 80-game suspension for PEDs. I wonder what it's like on baseball teams.
That is interesting.
If they're like, thanks, bro. But they're having a good season. So if they were crap, there'd be some bitterness. But pretty good addition.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it was some, you know, I think you look at like a situation with Ozuna, which was Roberto Ozuna, the closer now in Houston, that's obviously a more serious issue. This is kind of one of those things that it's a personal issue. It affects him.
They're like,
steroids.
Man, I didn't get caught. Thank God.
Exactly. And listen, you're talking about a player, the level of Robinson Cano. You know, when you get a little bit of leeway when you're talking about a guy like Cano. He's not going to mix up the chemistry. It's not like it's a midseason trade. Like, well, as I pointed to Ozuna, it's not this super gnarly scandal. It's not great. It's not a great look, but he's such a high-level player that, as you said, pretty nice addition. The rich get richer. But not really, because we're talking about Seattle. Not exactly an evil empire.
Should I do this? Sports line's on the way. I don't want to steal your thunder. I don't know if you're going there.
Sports line's on the way.
Do you want to pimp what Cofield and Company without Cofield has?
It's got Adam Hill and it's got Magnum and Mark Seidel. What more could you pimp?
And Chrissy.
Written
and
on Chrissy. The board by Chrissy.
That's
Molly
right.
Cotton to cover the Panthers.
That's right.
Scott Baer on the Raiders. And you mentioned Bischoff, our new 10 a.m. host.
That's right. That does it for us.
Yes.